Open at Romans 12 with me. So we consider what is easy to say, but much harder to live, right? Let love be genuine. Now, as most of you know, Romans 12 is a shift in the book of Romans, right? The first 11 chapters, the Apostle Paul lays out the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He begins the book by showing that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Both Jews and Gentiles alike have turned away from the living God. All have sinned. All have betrayed the glory of God and have worshipped the creation rather than the Creator. But God. But God, who is great in mercy, gave His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that all who believe in Him by faith would be declared righteous before the throne of God. God is holy, is He not, saints? God is just. And the penalty for sin is what? Death. And what did Jesus do? What did Jesus come to do? He came and He died on the cross for your sins and for mine. He came and died on the cross and bore the penalty that we deserve. And He rose from the dead victorious, vindicated. And all who believe in Him by faith are saved from the wrath of God. All who believe in Him by faith are sons of God. All who believe in Him are in the family of God. Oh, to be declared righteous, to be forgiven is what a blessing. What should it do but cause us to worship? But then think of the thought that not only does God forgive us our sins, but then He brings us into His family. And He calls us sons and daughters. He brings us into His household. And He is our Father. And Jesus is our brother. And we are brothers and sisters, one with another. So when the Apostle Paul gets to chapter 12, he assumes that we know all of that, right? He assumes we've read the rest of the letter, that we've heard the glorious good news of Jesus Christ. And now he turns to exhortation. Now he turns to the gospel imperatives, the gospel commands. How do we live in the household of faith? How do we live as brothers and sisters, one with another? Now, our focus will be on verses 9 through 21, but I want to start reading at verse 1 of chapter 12. Open your scriptures with me. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. So Romans 12 begins by calling us to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. How is that done, saints? Through the Spirit of God, right? As we come to faith in Jesus, what happens? We are brought from death to life. We are regenerated. That's the theological term. We are brought from death to life. And now we are walking in the Spirit. And as we are being sanctified, sanctification is the transforming of the mind to be conformed to the will of God, to have a love for God and a love for one another, to be living sacrifices. In the next paragraph, I just want to point out one verse that is very important for our message this morning. He says in verse 4, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." See, when we came to faith in Jesus Christ, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we were brought into a union with our Savior. We were brought into a belonging to Him. We became one with Christ. And Christ is in us, and we are in Him, and we are His body. And Paul uses this metaphor of the body and Jesus being the head. And the body has a diversity of parts, right? There is a diversity in the body, but there is a union. There is a connectiveness. And one thing we learn here is that not only do we have union with our Savior, but we have a union, one with another. We belong to the Savior, and because we belong to the Savior, because we are His body, we belong one to another. Do you think of your brothers and sisters here at Living Hope Bible Church, in the Church Universal, all those believers who have trusted in Jesus Christ from all time? Do you believe that you are one in the Spirit? Paul says in Ephesians that we are to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Notice the unity is what? Of the Spirit. It originates from the Spirit. It comes from the Spirit. We are brought into a unity by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the same Spirit who dwells in you is the same Spirit who dwells in me. And so we belong one to another. We are connected in Jesus. The missionary who was here last week, he mentioned about, you know, have you ever had one of those moments where you're just out and about shopping or whatever, and you just meet someone and you know that they are a believer in Jesus Christ. You know they're a Christian because your spirit testifies within you that this is a brother. We have a oneness. And so because we have a oneness, because we belong to Jesus, because we have the same Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to love one another. To love one another from the heart. Verse 9 begins this section where it's like a series of bullet points. And so that's kind of how this message is going to be. Just following the scriptures. Paul just gives a series of exhortations of how we are to live in genuine love with one another. He starts this section by saying, let love be genuine. Now the phrase is quite literally just two words, genuine love. Genuine love. It's like a heading to this section. That what all these exhortations that are to follow have to do with genuine love. And it's translated here, let love be genuine, because it's a statement that's an assumed command. Let love be genuine. And the word genuine is the word for hypocrisy. Let it be without hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy, saints. That is, do not pretend to love one another, but genuinely, from the heart, love one another. Don't be an actor in your love, but be one who loves from the heart. Look at what verse 10 says. Love one another with brotherly affection. The Christian Standard Bible says it this way. Love one another deeply as brothers. Love one another deeply as brothers. And it's a rare word here used for love. It's has to do with familial love, with loving one another as family. Saints, we are called in Scripture. We are called by our Lord Jesus Christ, whose word this is. We are called to love one another as brothers and sisters from the heart. Now, our culture has a lot of confusion about what love is. Our culture talks about love in a very sentimental way. We speak of love as a synonym for niceness. To love someone is to be nice. Now, yes, to be kind is a fruit of the Spirit. But by our culture means by niceness is to be inoffensive at all times. It means to accept one another's truth, no matter what it is. It means to be effeminate, to be soft. It means to just get along with everyone at the expense of truth. But this is not how we learn love from Scripture, and we must get our definition of love from Scripture. We cannot let culture, we cannot let our hearts, we cannot even let the culture of our family define what love is. If we want to know what real love is, then we must look to the love God has shown us in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to know love, we need to know the God who is love. How did Jesus love us without hypocrisy? Oh, Jesus, we read the Gospels and you see that Jesus loved by speaking truth to his neighbor, by speaking truth and calling them to true repentance and genuine faith. You read Jesus meeting the woman at the well in John 3, right? And I don't think you would define that as what our culture would say, nice. He's having this nice conversation with this lady. And then he says, you have five husbands, don't you? He calls her out. He makes the conversation get very uncomfortable, doesn't he? But is Jesus loving her when he says that? Oh, he loves her. He loves her so much that he calls her to believe in him as the true Messiah, to turn from her old way of life and to follow him. When Jesus would heal, he would say, go and sin no more. Follow me. Jesus loved with truth. Jesus loved, he sought to bring sinners, even his enemies, to his Father. Jesus loved his enemies. Jesus served. He showed his love by serving as if he was the least among his disciples. Remember, Jesus got down on his feet, his knees, and he washed his disciples' feet. And he told us to go and do likewise. His love is demonstrated in the fact that he took on the form of a servant and humbled himself. Jesus demonstrates his love by the fact that he laid down his life for his brethren. That he laid down his life for his sheep. That he gave his very self. Love, saints, is to love to the point of the greatest sacrifice. So, saints, let our love be genuine. I'm sure we've all heard this before, but I'm going to say it again to you. Love is an action, right? Love is not simply feeling. Love is an action. It is showed forth in our deeds of love towards one another. Now, remember we said, let love be genuine. Let it not be with hypocrisy. Do not love with hypocrisy, but love genuinely. So that means that even though love is an action, it is not merely an action, saints. It must come from the heart. If all we do is love because it's what we're supposed to do, even though we despise our neighbor, it's not a love that is genuine. But our love that shows forth in action must be one that affects us. It must be a love that stirs within our affections. A love that truly cares for one another as brothers and sisters. As a parent, you know what this love is, right? You know how much you love your children. And it's in your heart. It's not just the fact that you've changed their diapers and feed them every day. It's not just that. That is a demonstration of your love. But you also love them from the heart, don't you? That's how we're to love one another. With affection. Love one another deeply as brothers. Love one another from the heart. Let us love one another. Not pretend, not in hypocrisy, but from the heart. Now, I get the struggle here, right? Sometimes our heart has a hard time catching up with our mind, has a hard time being where we're supposed to be. And so, sometimes, even when you don't feel love for a brother, you still must act in love, right? You must not say, well, I would just be a hypocrite if I didn't just tell him the way it was. No, we still must be obedient to the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we must not stay at a state where we have bitterness or a false pretense of love for our brothers. God has the right to call us to feel what we're supposed to feel. Even when we don't feel it. And part of sanctification is the transformation of the desires of the heart, right? And so, love genuinely. And if you don't have that love from the heart, ask the Spirit to give it to you. Ask for that sanctification, to be transformed in the renewal of your mind, that you would have genuine love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. It would be easy to do this, right? If everybody was the same as us or was the people we would just gravitate toward. But God has saved people from every tribe, nation, and tongue, from all sorts of socioeconomic classes, from all sorts of family backgrounds. And we all have quirks, don't we? Your normal is what's weird to someone else. You think they're weird, they think you're weird. But love must be genuine. It must be from the heart. One thing that is very dangerous, saints, is if our love for the church, if our love for God's people is the love of an ideal that we have in our mind, but not for the actual church that is, right? We read the New Testament and we see all of the things that we're called to be. And so we get frustrated when we don't see that lived out by our brothers and sisters. We look around and we're like, this isn't what the church is supposed to be like. But let me just give you, first of all, an encouragement from the New Testament. The majority of the epistles that were written to churches who were in error and had sin. So even the church in the first century needed love to cover a multitude of sins. And truthful exhortation, right? All right, so be careful that your love for the church is not the love of the ideal. Because if that is, your only love is for the ideal church, you will grow to hate the actual church. We must love the church that is. And guess what? The church is filled with sinners who are being sanctified by the Spirit. You're here. I'm here. Someone wrote, I think it was G.K. Chesterton, what is wrong with the world? Or we could say, what is wrong with the church? And he replied with two words. I am. That's what's wrong with the church. I'm here. Love your brothers and your sisters as they are. And your love will lead you to care for them in ways that you could not if you were being a hypocrite. I know that it's getting late, but please bear with me. That's all right. We needed those encouragements, Pastor Matt. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. All right. So love from the heart has to be genuine, but it shows forth in the way we live, right? Towards one another. One of the first things the apostle mentions here is that we are to abhor. We are to hate deeply with our feeling what is evil. And we are to love, hold fast. It's the same word used for the bringing together of a couple in marriage, holding fast to one another. Hold fast to what is good. Love leads you to hate what is evil. Because what does sin do? It destroys. It destroys. It perverts. It brings sorrow and pain and destruction. And so if we have the heart of our God, we will hate evil. We will hate wickedness. First of all, we will hate the wickedness in our own hearts. We will abhor it. We will despise it. We will want nothing to do with it. Because we know not only does it bring dishonor to our Father in heaven, but it also brings pain and sorrow to our brothers and sisters. None of you can sin in a vacuum. Your sin may be secret, it may be in your basement, but sin will be brought to light. And sin is like toxic waste. It affects everything it touches. Your sin isn't only affecting you, it affects your family, It affects your children. It affects this church family. And so we must cut off evil. We must cut off sin out of us. We must hate what is evil. We must hate when we see a brother or sister stumbling into sin. We must hate the sin. We must despise it. But rather, we are to hold fast to what is good. Hold fast to the things that God approves. How will we know? By the transforming of our mind, we'll be able to approve what is acceptable. The pleasing will of God that we are given in the Scriptures. Love shows forth in action by outdoing one another in showing honor. To honor someone is to value them, to prize them, to speak well of them. Brothers and sisters, we are to be striving to outdo one another in our honoring of one another. Like Jesus said, don't go take the prize seat. Take the lower one. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last in the kingdom of God. And that's not a way of saying, then just, you know, pretend to let everybody else go first because in your heart you're coveting that first position. No, it means genuinely from your heart, put others first in the kingdom of God. That is the person who will be exalted by our Heavenly Father. Is the person who from his heart honors his brothers, lifts up his brothers, speaks well of his brothers, encourages his brothers, gives his brother the seat of honor. Genuine love, it's not slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit and serves the Lord. We are not to be lazy in our zeal, but we ought to be fervent, encouraging one another, serving the Lord together. We're to rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. The only thing I'll say about that verse is that we need to do that together, saints. We need that in the body of Christ. We need to rejoice in hope together. We need to be patient with one another in tribulation, bearing up each other's load, and being constant in prayer. Constant in prayer for one another. Verse 13, genuine love is contributing to the needs of the saints and seeks to show hospitality. Word contribute here is the word koinonia. It means to participate in, to have fellowship in the needs of the saints. Remember we saw in the earlier verses of chapter 12 that we are members one of another. So that means when one part of the body suffers, we all are to suffer with them. When they have a need, this is why the early church had this mindset, right? This is why they would, it wasn't crazy to them to sell their possessions and give to those in need. Because they saw their brother's need as being their very own. And if we are of the same household, if your child, if your or spouse is in need of something, you're going to contribute to that need, right? If men, if you're having trouble putting food on the table and you've got a 60-inch TV, put it up for sale on eBay, right? All right. Are we the family of God? This is why they could sell their possession and give their need to the needs of the saints, because we must have this mindset that we are of the same household of God. Let love be genuine. Contribute, participate in the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Now, hospitality in the New Testament is a little bit different than what we think of as hospitality. We think of hospitality as entertaining, right? Having people over for a meal. And that is a part of hospitality. But when we read of hospitality in the Scriptures, this is a time when there weren't really hotels and all those things, and when a traveler came through town, you were to put them up in your home and to care for them and to take care of their needs and to literally to accept, bring someone into your, you know, the Jews greet each other with the phrase shalom, right? You see that? It's to bring someone into your dwelling, into your peace, and that you will be looking out for their peace, for their well-being. And so today, yeah, we have all sorts of means and hotels and all those things, but we are still called to be an hospitable people. When we know of a need, we must be willing to our own discomfort to open up our homes to take care of the needs of the saints, to take care of the needs of those who are in need, who have a struggle. A tangible way is when we have missionaries coming in town, that we would be ready and willing to house them in our homes, to show them hospitality. They have given up everything for the kingdom of Christ. They really have no home. They go and live amongst the people who are not their people. And then they come back here to where they're originally from, but they don't fit in anymore. And they don't have a lot of them don't have a place here that they call home. And they travel from church to church, giving updates. And so it is fitting that we would bring them into our home, feed them a meal, give them a place to sleep. And we need to care for one another, to contribute to the needs of the saints, to show hospitality. This also means that we should be having each other to our homes. I ask you and I encourage you in this. Have you had a fellow brother and his family to your home from Living Hope for a meal? Have you broken bread together? Let it be the regular rhythm of our life here at Living Hope, that we would be living life together as one family of the household of God, encouraging one another in each other's homes, lifting each other up. I've been so encouraged by this church family. As our dear brother and sister Justin and Amber lost their little one, but how you have come around them, saints, and brought them meals and stopped by to encourage them and texted them. They've spoken to me and told me how much it has encouraged their hearts, how much they have been lifted up by your love. And know that every time there's a need in this church and you bring a meal, it may seem like a small thing, but it's an encouragement. When you know a brother or a sister is struggling or going through a difficult time, those times you send them a verse of scripture. As Jerry calls it, handing them a sword. You hand them a sword for their struggle. It's an encouragement. Lift one another up. Close with this exhortation that we've already kind of touched on. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Because we are members one with another, we ought to rejoice with one another when another rejoices. And we must weep with those who weep. Both of those are important, right? Because when someone's rejoicing, our sinful nature is to be jealous, right? Is to covet what they have. But instead, we are to honor our brother. We are to rejoice at their well-being. We are to rejoice in their blessing. Do not covet your neighbor's goods. Do not covet his blessing, but rejoice with him. Let your love be genuine. When your brother or sister weeps through trial and tribulation, weep with them because you belong to them and you ought to feel their pain. And if you don't, ask the Lord to change your heart, that you would have such love for the saints, that you would care for them. The thing that keeps us from that is that we are haughty, aren't we? We have a proud spirit, but genuine love is not haughty. Genuine love associates even with the lowly. So that means in our genuine love for one another, that our love is not just for our clique, right? The group of people at church that we get along with, but no, even those whom we don't understand, those whom we, who may in some proud way in our mind, we think are lower than us. But to love one another genuinely, to share in the rejoicing and the weeping, not thinking anyone is lesser, but honoring all in the sight of our Father in heaven. Honor one another. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but count others as more important than yourselves. Now, all these things this morning, saints, are a lot easier to say than to do, aren't they? But we must not love just in word, but in deed, right? We read that passage this morning from 1 John. When we know these needs, we must let the Spirit move in our hearts and to take care of one another. Follow the Spirit's leading. When He calls you to encourage a brother, when the Spirit leads you to contribute financially to the need, do not harden your heart. Do not close your ear, but do it. And do it immediately. We read that passage from Leviticus this morning, right? It said, don't withhold the wages that is due someone till the morning. And in John we read, if we know that someone's in need, don't tell them to go their way. And then, you know, blessings to you and go your way. When we can give them a jacket, when we can take care of them, do not let something wait for the morning that needs to be done today. Because then you're going to convince yourself, right? Ah, they'll be okay. No, you need to listen to the Spirit. I encourage you today, saints, let your love for one another be genuine. Love one another from the heart. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we love why? Because He first loved us. We must have this mindset. His love is for us, even though we are most unlovely. How can we not love one another? How can we not love one another when the God of all glory, who owes us nothing, loves us? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We ask, Lord, that You would stir in our hearts love, genuine love for one another, that we would care for one another, that we would build one another up, and that You would be glorified. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.